Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, code PODCAST.
All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll chat a little college hoops right now, and we do so with college basketball insider from CBS Sports. You can always check out his podcast as well, the College Hoops Today podcast. It does a great job as a content creator for FanDuel Sportsbook, and that is our pal, John Rothstein. John, appreciate the time. How are you?
Great, Zach. Great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know probably most of my listening audience don't care, so this is a personal question right out of the gate, but being a grad of Temple, I saw you were all over this Charlton Young story where he's not going to be the coach. What the heck happened today?
Well, Zach, you know, we'll start obviously with your alma mater. And, you know, Charlton Young was offered the opportunity to be the head coach at Temple University. He talked over the offer and obviously the opportunity with his family. And Charlton Young, as you know, has some reservations, you know, initially just from not being from Philadelphia, understanding maybe the landscape as well as some other places. But he loved Temple. He loved the brand. Obviously, he was familiar with the brand from John Chaney. But due to the resignation of Temple's president yesterday, you know, Charlton Young opted to pull himself out of, you know, consideration for the head coaching vacancy in Temple. So your alma mater, which you and I both grew up with, you know, really as one of the programs that was always associated really at the apex of college basketball, is in a critical period right now. You know, I have been very outspoken the last couple of years about how Temple's decision to prioritize its football program has really set back the men's basketball program. And I know that intercollegiate athletics is driven by college football, but we are seeing now the results of the decisions that Temple's athletic department has made continue to weaken and really hurt the brand of the front porch of the university, which to me is the men's basketball program.
Personally, I don't have a problem with them being in the American Athletic Conference over the A-10, but this is, you're right, a crucial time for Temple basketball because they've lost their identity and they have lost their way, and it's a messy job. The campus is a mess. The president was a mess. And I'm just wondering who's going to come in and save it. I don't think it's an attractive job. That's why I've been advocating for a young, hungry, kind of unproven coach who's going to be motivated in Adam Fisher. So where do you think they pivot from here?
He's definitely a name that was obviously under consideration before they shifted the focus of the search to Charlton Young. But to me, you know, the problem that you have with Temple is, for all intents and purposes, not so much the job, but the league that the job is in. And look, I understand what you're saying from the American Athletic Conference, but now you're in a scenario where a year from now, next season, Houston, Cincinnati, UCF are no longer in the league. So if you're Temple and you're trying to get your fan base excited, you are going to be looking at a schedule that has UAB, UTSA, North Texas, Rice, South Florida, Tulsa, Wichita State. That is a hard, hard sell if you're looking at a program that obviously has traditional rivalries in the A-10.
But what's the appeal outside of being just closer to schools in the A-10 anymore? Because they only had one team in the tourney this year.
But if Temple goes to the Atlantic 10, it automatically becomes a flagship program for that conference. It becomes one of the best jobs in that league. All of a sudden, you start to see Temple, VCU, Dayton, St. Louis as programs that can anchor an entire league. I mean, you know your history. John F. Kennedy said it best, the rising tide lifts all boats. If Temple were to prioritize its basketball and was in the Atlantic 10, I don't just think the program would be more successful, but you'd be in a situation where I think you could attract really, really qualified candidates to be the steward of this program. And look, you know, Fran Dunphy, you know, who had stopped coaching at Temple in 2019, led the Owls to two NCAA tournament appearances in his last 4 years. Temple isn't just a little bit away from going to two NCAA tournaments in the last 4 years. It's almost like the first scene of Star Wars in a galaxy a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. That's where Temple basketball is right now from the NCAA tournament.
Well, this is a depressing conversation so far with one of my favorites in John Rothstein. Let me ask you about Penn State. They have hired Mike Rhodes. That's officially announced. I know you're all over that story. What does Mike bring to Penn State once they've lost Micah Shrewsbury?
Mike's a proven coach. Mike, I think, is made for the Big Ten. He's a Pennsylvania native. He will obviously understand the infrastructure of that job. I think Mike, like he did at VCU, will be able to get his teams to overachieve. And I think, again, he will fit right in with the fabric of the Big Ten. So I think this is an outstanding hire for Penn State and Patrick Kraft. This was the right hire.
Would they really ever have a shot to keep Micah Shrewsbury? Was it just inevitable that he was going to go to Notre Dame?
Penn State was going to make a large financial commitment to Micah Shrewsbury if he stayed as the head coach of Penn State. But I think when you look at the landscape of things and you look at the ACC right now, there has never been a better time to be a head coach in the ACC than right now. You've got a period of transition at Duke. You've got a period of transition in North Carolina. Jim Boeheim just retired. Virginia has not won an NCAA tournament game since 2019 when it won the national title. And Florida State, who was at the top of this league from 2016 to 2021, has missed the last two NCAA tournaments. Take all those things into consideration. Take also into consideration that Micah Shrewsbury is from Indiana and can obviously play a similar brand of basketball at Notre Dame like we saw this year at Penn State, and I think it was too much to pass up.
I'm glad that you mentioned Duke and UNC. We know Duke was expected to be a big player in this tourney, and they didn't go as far as what people expected. UNC was in the championship game last year, missed the tourney this year. What's the future of those two blue bloods with what you see now with Coach Davis and Coach Shire?
Well, you know, I'm working on my rough being 45 for after, obviously, the national championship game. And, you know, I'm going to be updating this every day, Zach, with the transfer portal, with transfers, with guys coming and going from the NBA draft. But North Carolina will not be ranked in the top 25. And Duke, which obviously is going to bring in some really good young talent, has some guys returning, is not obviously probably going to be in the top 10 because, you know, Duke's going to lose. We anticipate both Kyle Filipowski and Derek Lively. Derek Whitehead announced today. So I think John Shire did a great job at Duke this year. Obviously not the ending that you want, but there is a different feel now at the top of the ACC. No Boeheim, no Roy Williams, no Mike Krzyzewski. Virginia hasn't won an NCAA tournament game since 2019. New coach at Notre Dame. There's a lot in transition right now in the ACC. But ironically enough, and I wrote this today in my daily column, The Breakfast Buffet, Miami is becoming a flagship program in the ACC because of what we're seeing from the Hurricanes. Look at last year. You go to the Elite Eight, you have a lead against Kansas, the eventual national champion at the half. Kansas plays pound for pound, inch for inch, the best half I've seen a team play in nearly 20 years on this beat. You lose, there's no shame in that. You lose Charlie Moore, you lose Cam Augusti, you lose Sam Wardenburg as a stretch five, and the Hurricanes take things a step further this year and make it to the Final Four.
If Larrañaga wins these next two games, take down UConn, and then defeats the winner of FAU San Diego State, you think there's a chance he retires?
Common sense would say that, but if Jim Larrañaga retires, what is he going to do? He just signed a new contract. He's in a situation where he told me he wants to finish out his new contract before he opts to retire. There's still years on that, and I understand going out as a champion, but he also wants something to do every day while if he loves coaching. And look right now at this Miami team, Zach. You've got a team, obviously, that is dynamic in the backcourt. They've got more guards than Shawshank. Isaiah Wong can come back, obviously, for an additional year of eligibility. You can get back Nigel Pack. You can get back Bensley Joseph and Wilga Poplar. And you can get back Norchad Omier. We've got a scenario where Miami could be right back in the same situation next season.
How about the future of Villanova? 1 year removed without Jay Wright, Kyle Neptune, their head coach.
As pivotal a spring recruiting period as Villanova has had in a really long time. Now, why do I say that? Obviously, Murphy's Law hit Villanova this year. We know that. We understand that. There were injuries to Justin Moore and Cam Whitmore. Jordan Longino had injuries. We understand all of that, and that affected Villanova's opportunity to be the best team it could be. But you're looking at the Big East right now, and you're looking at a conference that is getting progressively better. We have one team in the Final Four in UConn. Sean Miller's back at Xavier. Shaka Smart's bringing back everybody at Marquette. Creighton should be right back in the top 10 to start the preseason. And the school that made the best hire of the coaching carousel was a school that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game in 23 years, and that's St. John's, by hiring Rick Pitino, who is pound for pound, inch for inch, the best coach in the sport today, not named Bill Self. So now all of a sudden, all those teams are going to be projected to finish ahead of Villanova. And I even mentioned Ed Cooley, who now, after taking Providence to 7 of the last 9 NCAA tournaments, is going to be attached to a significantly more powerful brand than he was in his native Rhode Island at Georgetown.
Wrap it up with John Rothstein on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We know the Big Ten sent 8 teams to the tournament. They only had one make it to the Sweet 16. They don't have a national championship since Michigan State. What was that, in the early 2000s? How do you kind of look at the Big Ten right now?
Well, I think when you look at the Big Ten, we know obviously the volume is there to get a lot of teams in the NCAA tournament. But the facts are the facts, Zach. Big Ten the last 3 years, 26 teams in the NCAA tournament. One has made the Elite Eight. That tells you all you need to know from a percentage standpoint. And look, there has been a lot of talk about the dynamics that are going to be presented when UCLA and USC join the Big Ten in the year. I think you could make the argument now that UCLA and USC's got the number one point guard in the country coming in next year, Isaiah Collier, but UCLA has become a perennial top five, top 10 team under Mick Cronin. They went to 3 straight Sweet 16s, obviously went to the Final Four 2 years ago. They are going to help the Big Ten in terms of having a formidable contender that is proven in the NCAA tournament. That's enough something to keep an eye on as we flip the page here in another season.
Looking like Grant McCaslin's going to wind up with Texas Tech. That's been the expectation everywhere. Your reaction to that move, assuming it goes down?
Logical move. Grant McCaslin's done a great job at North Texas. You know, I think obviously, you know, if he is not the head coach at Texas Tech, it would be a major, major surprise. But, you know, when you get in the Big 12 and you add Houston and you add games in Provo on the road, and in BYU, and you add Cincinnati to an already loaded conference, you better be ready to come in firing and firing at a high level if you're Texas Tech, because you have had Tubby Smith won a national championship, Chris Beard went to a title game, and Mark Adams went to a Sweet 16. So I think Grant McCaslin is the logical choice at Texas Tech, but he'll have his work cut out, and as any coach would in the Big 12.
What's going to decide FAU San Diego State on Saturday evening?
How can FAU handle San Diego State's physicality? And here's another thing that is really interesting when I think about this game here, Zach. San Diego State has beaten Alabama, the number one of number one seeds, and Creighton back-to-back. And Matt Bradley, the best player on San Diego State from an offensive perspective, has only scored a combined 8 points and has shot 3 of 17 from the field. That tells me San Diego State does not need its star to play at an elite level to beat some of the best teams in this tournament. If Matt Bradley can get back into an offensive rhythm, I think the Aztecs got a great chance to be playing Monday night.
UConn's been as dominant as Baylor was a few years ago in this tournament. They've just gone on these incredible stretches of just great 20-minute runs. In this tournament, UConn, Miami, all know what Miami did to get here, coming on back against Texas, and we know how loaded Miami is. What type of game do you expect between UConn and Miami?
Really competitive. I don't think Miami has an answer for UConn's depth. I don't think Miami has an answer for UConn's size, but somewhere along the way here, UConn is going to have to deal with the four-guard look that Miami presents, and that means that Alex Caravan, or somebody playing the four spot, is going to have to guard a Jordan Miller, is going to have to guard a Wugga Poplar. That, to me, is the big key. And, you know, we're also going to have to see, you know, if Miami's guards, who have had some great shooting performances in this NCAA tournament, can go over the top of UConn's defense.
Last thing I'll ask you, John Rothstein, before we let you run, when it comes to people that get excited for this tournament from a media standpoint, it's you, John Fanta, and then also Bill Raftery in whatever order you want. When you hear people talk about this Final Four, you being one of those guys that are so excited when it comes to college basketball in this tourney, and you hear people go, oh, the Final Four is going to suck because FAU and San Diego State's in it. This isn't going to be a good Final Four. How do you respond to people that say that?
Florida Atlantic was picked fifth in the Conference USA preseason poll. Florida Atlantic won 32 combined games in the 2 years prior to this one. It now has 35 wins. San Diego State, prior to this NCAA tournament, did not have an NCAA tournament win under Brian Dutcher. And so much has been made about the fact that we are seeing a continuous level of separation between power conferences and non-power conferences. The NCAA tournament tells you that that does not determine what is going to happen in the greatest event in sports. We've got one team from Conference USA. We've got one team from the Mountain West in the Final Four. And on the other side, you've got a UConn team that all of a sudden is now being looked at as a heavy favorite to win this thing. And it was a four seed who was not projected as a top 16 seed during the mock bracket reveal in February. And you got a Miami team, okay, that lost three starters from an Elite Eight team last season. This is not Duke. This is not Carolina. It's Miami. So what's my answer to those people, Zach? It's real simple. The optics are what the optics are, but you have to embrace the unexpected. And college basketball is where the unexpected becomes the ordinary. And remember, when you see a team pick fifth in Conference USA and make the Final Four, and when you see a team who doesn't have an NCAA tournament win under its head coach from the Mountain West make the Final Four, you just have to remind yourself, it's not anarchy. It's just college basketball.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code PODCAST.